Representative Gene Pawlowski joining us here on KWNO, AM 1230 FM 98.7. There's a framework for a supplemental budget for 2024-2025 agreed upon between Governor Tim Walz and some Democratic leaders. Can you break this down a little bit for us, Gene, kind of the framework of this supplemental budget?
Sure. This was agreed to on March 22nd by Melissa Hortman, the Speaker of the House, Aaron Murphy, the Majority Leader of the Senate, and Tim Walz. It has approximately $477 million of one-time spending, and then $62.7 million, I guess you'd say, million of ongoing spending. However, even with these numbers, we still will not be in deficit when we look at the out years of 2027, 2028. And that's mainly because of the projections now that we're getting, and we just got a couple where we're still on a revenue increase. Now, that's a lot of money, but when you break it down over 28 different accounts, it isn't much. For instance, in higher ed, there'll only be $500,000 of one-time new spending, which will probably apply to the foster care grant. This is a grant for foster children who are going to school, and it's underfunded as a result of increased enrollment. So we'll be trying to target, at least in higher ed, these resources toward a number of accounts that, because of now the increased enrollment, are underfunded.
I know some of your colleagues on the other side of the aisle, some Republican lawmakers, are still talking about this, what they call a looming budget deficit. But you're saying when the numbers are crunched and when you really look at the particulars, that that is not really possible for us to have this looming budget deficit. Is that correct?
That's correct. This comes from the Office of Management and Budget. It also comes from House Research. You know, you can make up whatever you want, but we have to figure these numbers based on these nonpartisan offices. And frankly, they're a continuing ongoing cry of this is going to create a deficit isn't true.
Why are they doing that then?
Well, I think the political world is what it is. And if you say it often enough, people will believe it, even if it isn't true.
Is there any way that things change in such an extreme way that a deficit is possible? Maybe not the deficit that some lawmakers are saying is going to come, but is there a chance that anything changes so drastically that it's even a remote possibility?
Yeah, if revenue would decrease substantially, revenue collections, then you would be going into a deficit. But I want to remind everybody, if that happens, we have to pass a balanced budget as a result of the Minnesota Constitution. So what we're looking at here is a balanced budget. Should the revenue collections go down, the governor would probably then have to call us into special session, and we would have to correct the budget.
I know you're somebody who is not, you know, an alarmist. You don't really legislate that way. You don't speak that way. But how irresponsible is it, do you think, in your opinion, of some of these lawmakers to really keep sounding this budget deficit alarm? Because, you know, that's something that can get people fired up. And some people just hear budget deficit. They see the amount of money that some of these lawmakers are talking about. And that makes people concerned. You know, how irresponsible of it is it of them to keep doing this when there's really very little possibility that this deficit will actually come to fruition in the next couple of years?
Well, I think that, you know, irresponsibility is all involved in trying to win the next election. And yeah, you can get people excited, but frankly, there's nothing to be excited about. If I thought we were going into deficit, I would tell you that. And again, even if we were going into deficit and it was a significant deficit to balance, the governor would have to call us back. Governor Quay had a series of special sessions because of revenue shortfalls where he continually had to call the legislature back. And primarily, those budgets were resolved by cuts. Various cuts in education, transportation, health and human services. So, you know, for the people who just want to make political hay, I guess there are always somebody who will eat the hay.
Mm. One thing we talked about last week, Gene, and something that I think you agree on, I think, with some of your Republican colleagues, is that the $16 million budgeted for Greater Minnesota Ambulance Services is not sufficient for the needs of a lot of these departments. I think originally requested was $125 million. This supplemental budget comes back with about $16 million. Is there any way that things are moved around to get more money allocated for these Greater Minnesota Ambulance Services, or is that kind of set?
I think that's kind of set. This is actually not a budget year, so even $16 million, which I agree is not enough, is significantly more than zero. So they'll have to work with that until the 2025 budget cycle.
Okay, gotcha. As a lot of people out there listening know, you are very dialed in to higher education. Of course, the chairman of the Higher Education Committee, Winona State University, last week announcing the appointment of a new president. It is Dr. Kenneth Janz. He was the interim president, has been with WSU for a number of years. What are your thoughts, Gene, on Dr. Janz being appointed as the new president at Winona State?
I'm very pleased by this appointment. This reflects, again, something that's a big change in higher ed, and that is going internally for individuals to be the leaders of our Minnesota higher education system. We saw that when President Olson was moved into Chancellor Olson. We saw it when Jeff Ettinger became the interim president at the University of Minnesota, and now we're seeing it again at Winona State University with President Janz. I think it's time to look internally so we have people who know not just the university, but also know Minnesota and Minnesota higher education systems. We're still in a problem area here with declining enrollment. Now, while there's been an increase in enrollment, as I alluded to earlier, as a result, I think, of what we've done over the last legislative session, higher ed has a long way to go to make sure it has stable enrollment. And I think with President Janz at Winona State, we have an excellent opportunity to make that happen.
Have you spoke with President Janz at all?
Yes, I've met with him several times. He follows the tradition of past university presidents of wanting to meet with the legislative delegation, and that's always been extremely helpful when we're making decisions in St. Paul.
How much will you know, with somebody like President Janz, or, you know, some of the presidents and hires up at other Minnesota higher education institutions, do you communicate with them a lot? Do you try to keep in regular contact with them when you are, you know, doing things on the legislative level? You know, how important is that open line of communication in order to get things done and keep things moving in the right direction?
Yeah, depending on the week, it's almost daily. I've got a couple of emails I have to respond to. President Danielson wants a conversation, and we'll have it sometime this week on part of the higher ed policy bill. I haven't spoken with President Janz since he was appointed president, but I was speaking with him in previous weeks on what we're doing with the budget. So I would say it's weekly, sometimes daily, depending on what's happening at St. Paul.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, Gene, we will have to leave it there. Always appreciate speaking with you. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you, Jason.
That is Representative Gene Pawlowski, represents Winona County and the greater Winona County area. He joins us every week, break down what's happening up at the legislature in St. Paul. We'll be right back. You are in the know, KWNO.